Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilma Seita. Let's go. Hi, lovers. How have you been? Have you listened to last week's episode? If you haven't, you have to. Jennifer is so amazing, and her story is just out of this world. There's so much magic and quote-unquote coincidence that she's experienced in the past year when she decided to say yes to her calling and to her purpose. It's just amazing. It's just like literally, I just cannot stop smiling because that episode really warmed my heart. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, make sure you do. It's a bit of a longer one, as per usual with my interviews. Sorry, not sorry. But yeah, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please do. And today is going to be much shorter and sweeter, even though I know that I always say that. But I think today is going to be that short and sweet one. Anyway, I hope you're inspired. I hope you're at peace. And those of you who are in the same hemisphere as I am, I hope you're enjoying the spring, which is slowly but surely transitioning into summer. And I was just thinking about it, and it took me years to realize, which is really funny. You know how some people have the winter blues, like the dark and the cold gets to their mood? I'm like the opposite. I think I have summer blues. Or SAD, seasonal affective disorder, which is usually most commonly exhibited by people in winter seasons, but I think I may have it reversed. Like waving my freak flag high here. So, you know, we have four seasons here in Lithuania, and I'm okay with three out of four, but in summers, for some reason, I get much more quiet, I get nostalgic. Almost feel like I miss the times I have never experienced before. And the only word that comes close to describing this feeling is saudade, which is a Portuguese word. I guess I pronounced it in the Brazilian Portuguese and I hope I didn't butcher it. But saudade is like, you know, it's that longing that I tend to experience when the weather is nice. I have no idea what it's about, but it's the most melancholic, intense, emotional, sensual experience for me that I get to feel every summer. And please tell me I'm not alone. If you're experiencing something similar, please pop me a message. Don't leave me hanging here, pretty please. Like, we can form a little saudade club and drink port wine. You know, white port wine cocktails and miss the time we've never had together. Anyway, so today I wanted to briefly talk to you about leading double lives. And I guess this is more of an inspirational piece versus me necessarily giving you a specific strategy or tool, because I feel like you need a little bit of that as well. And when I say double lives, I really don't mean having multiple personality disorder, which, as I've referred to several times before, I believe to some degree we all do, as it often can be a coping mechanism after we experience acute or chronic traumatic events and many other complex reasons, of course, because mental health, I believe, is a very complex, it's non-exhaustive area of study where we should tread carefully and try not to simplify any case or offer conclusive diagnosis. I'm a huge believer in that. So when I say double lives in the context of my work, I mean showing up as one person at work and showing up as a completely different person with different qualities and energy off work. Or perhaps maybe just allowing one part of you shine at work in a very controlled, rigid manner. I can talk for myself here, even though I hear it a lot from my career changers as well, which is when I was working in the corporate environment where I had to be all suited and all booted, for the longest time, I would get into what I eventually started referring to as business Vilma. So you know how like Beyoncé has Sasha Fierce and her as her alter ego when she goes on stage? So I had like a business Vilma. And Business Vilma would get quiet, concentrated. I would speak very much to the point at all times. I would not smile or laugh much. I would constantly have the resting bitch face. Okay, people would always ask me if I'm okay. I was like, what do you mean? I'm just working. I would be working many, many hours to prepare for client presentations, to do all of my prep and analytical work. And in spite of how tired I would feel, I would show up, get the work done. And at the same time, I would also be counting down the minutes until I could get out of that office building. And during the out of office hours, I was very much more fun-loving. I was loud. I used to go out a lot and party, you know, to kill the stress and help me forget to numb myself and not admit to myself that the truth was that I was, you know, the truth that was literally plainly glaring into my face was that I was not aligned with anything about the world that I was working in, not the company values, not the culture, not the quote-unquote work-life balance, the ethics. I hated cutthroat nature. I didn't like the clothes. Like, I just wanted to freaking, you know, make a bonfire out of my shirts and suits. Like, I hated them, right? They felt so constrictive to me. And I felt like I was stuck in my body, like, which chose to go to that workplace every day. It's like my soul was jailed inside of me, yelling like, help, help, help. And I would be like, shut it. This is what adults do. They get up, they puke in their mouth when the alarm rings. They dress themselves up in the clothes to make them, you know, bored. And then they drag themselves to the workplaces they hate to spend time with coworkers that annoy them, because we can't choose a coworker. So you just try to accept them. And let's be honest, most of the time we fail to do that, so we just end up bitching about them and complaining to our partners and friends and other coworkers, and then we come back from work drained. I mean, like, that level of fatigue that results out of being in, you know, being stuck in a job that is out of alignment, that level of tiredness isn't like any type of fatigue. It's like all encompassing. And those of you who have experienced it or are experiencing it right now, you know exactly what I mean. So you get so tired that you almost have no other choice, but the only way for you to soothe your nervous system, remember when we spoke about the different ways that our nervous system responds to threats, which is being a threat, could be being in a workplace that which is very much out of alignment with who we are, then we turn into numbing ourselves out. If it's a school night, it could be watching TV series, you know, maybe with short little breaks for quiet desperation and tears. And of course, alcohol, or maybe even some, you know, drugs or a lot of food on the weekends, which would also anyway, eventually will probably end up with us crying at some point, which would always happen to me. I would go out, and at some point during the night, you would find me somewhere in a corner crying. People would be asking me what's wrong with me, and I could not even answer the question, right? I mean, you could say like, yeah, Vilma, that's what so happens when you overdrink. But I'm like, yeah, listen, that was just my soul crying, right? And, you know, you might have not been working in the corporate and your environment may not have been so rigid, but the idea of you feeling like you are just a fraction of yourself at work is a very, very common threat. And I remember that time so vividly that all I craved for is feeling like myself full time. I was so tired of living this double life. Yet my caveat was, I didn't even know who I was, because I had spent all of my goddamn life following the rules, believing they will lead me to my purpose. And all it did was reliably and consistently leading me to my demise. And what was even more frustrating to me was that the methods, the consulting that I had access to, that I tried, it was all actually making me feel even more confused and giving me, you know, it was not giving me any clear direction or answers. Because if I would go to see recruiters, they were very keen to offer me a job in a similar industry or role. I've already had before, because obviously they were after their commission. So they were always the first ones to talk me out of any career change ideas, because without having direct work experience or educational background in this new field, it would have made me very uncomfortable to place or very unappealing, unattractive candidate to match with a potential company. That means they would not be getting their commission. So they were the first ones to tell me to rethink me changing careers, to maybe try a different industry, right? Maybe try go from public to private, from private to public, right? Like, they were so stuck on keeping me like in finance and the corporate. And then when that kind of approach didn't work, I then took a gazillion of personality and career profiling tests, and they were mostly confusing in their results. Like, they offered me really random and often even conflicting direction, which again, just like made my head spin. And I could not help but feel like my skills, my experience, my core values, my interests were, you know, and where I found meaning and purpose in, they were all pulling me towards the opposite directions. And there was just this constant turmoil within me, like this constant level of anxiety of knowing that I'm not living my life and yet having no idea where to turn. And just for the life of me, I could not get all of these different aspects and needs and experiences within me unite so it could lead me towards one clear career path that I could call mine. It was so consuming to the point where I literally stopped believing that would even be possible for me. And I started convincing myself that perhaps leading this double life is what people do. And that I was being unreasonable, wanting to have a path which would allow me to be me. And the reason why I'm sharing this so passionately is because if you are listening to me and you're recognizing yourself, I want you to stop and really listen to me talk right now. Because all of that was a lie. And maybe you are just like me, and from the outside in, it may look like you're pulling it off, like you're getting it together. But I know for me, even though I looked like that, even though I was ticking all those damn boxes, inside of me, I was falling apart. And you know what's even more scary? We're trained to separate the two. We're trained to think that a job and personal or rest time are two separate containers. We are sold the lie of work-life balance. There was this Gallup study made in 2019 that showed that in the US, only about 1/3 of employees are engaged. And that was, by the way, 1/3 was the all-time high number in decades. The remaining 2/3 were actually disengaged or not engaged at all. Or actively disengaged. I was like, what? Actively disengaged, like meaning miserable at work. They were considered physiologically unattached to the work and the company, and those, they were just literally putting in time, but no energy, no passion into the work. And the so-called, what they refer to, not engaged employees, they were usually showing up to work and contributing the minimum level required. And they were also the ones who were constantly on the lookout for better employment opportunities and would quickly leave the company for even the slightly better offer. We've all known employees like that, and actually we've probably been employees like that ourselves. So my question to you is, have you been leading a double life? Have you been taking this double life for granted? Have you ever considered that a life where you just suffer through the day and try to exude the least amount of energy at work is like keeping a houseplant in the basement with no light and just coming into water every now and then and still expecting it to grow and to bloom? It can't. It needs light so it could perform the photosynthesis and so that it could convert the light and the oxygen and the water into carbohydrates or the energy. And plants require this energy, in other words, light, in order to grow and bloom. And while the plant might not die right off the bat without the light, it will still very slowly start to wither, and soon enough it will die off. I personally found my light in the work that allowed me to finally connect all of the miscellaneous pieces that I thought were random, but little did I know they were all, each and every one of them, even the tiniest one, even the most random ones, perfectly aligned and developed and acquired to support me in the profession of meaning that I am engaged in right now. And that is exactly why I designed my program to take on this new, fresh, holistic approach at helping every unique individual to rediscover their unique path and incorporate their story, their experiences, their passion and values, their beliefs, all of which they are now, and all of that which they are becoming, which then allows them to design a career that is an extension of who they are. No more pretending, no more double lives, no more fake it till you make it. It's about aligning all the pieces into one harmonic melody. And believe me, I promise you, I'm the proof of that. My clients are a proof of that. It's not an urban myth. You can and you should seek for that light, like that plant, so you could unfold in the way that you were meant to unfold and claim the destiny you could have if you started to say yes to life, yes to this inner work, yes to the process of realigning and embracing all of those pieces and aspects of you that you may have rejected. So my question to you is this: what would you do today if you decided to authentically show up as yourself and for yourself at least just 5% more than you did yesterday? What might those 5% more of you would look like in practice? What does your self-expression look like today? What clothes the authentic you wants to wear? What food does it want to eat? What music does it actually want to listen to? What decisions would your true authentic self make today? For real, like, ask yourself and start to unwrap your uniqueness like the most precious Christmas gift. And this actually reminds me of one of my favorite Charles Bukowski poems called The Bluebird, which I think somehow manages to capture the authentic, raw part within us that is always asking us to allow it out for the world to see. Now, I don't know what that bluebird is for you, but perhaps it will inspire you to connect to that part within you deeper. And because I'm quirky like that, and it's my podcast, I'm gonna read this poem for you. Now, bear with me, I'm not an actress, I'm not very good with intonations, but there really was a time when I could not finish reading this poem without bursting into tears, because it would touch my soul so deeply. It would touch my core, because I knew that I too had a bluebird which wanted to sing its song. So here it goes. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay in there. I'm not going to let anybody see you. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I pour whiskey on him and inhale cigarette smoke. And the whores and the bartenders and the grocery clerks, they never know that he's in there. There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too tough for him. I say, stay down. Do you want to mess me up? Do you want to screw up the works? Do you want to blow up my book sales in Europe? There's a bluebird in my heart that wants to get out, but I'm too clever. I only let him out at night, sometimes when everybody's asleep. I say, I know that you're there, so don't be sad. And then I put him back. But he's singing a little in there. I haven't quite let him die. And we sleep together like that, with our secret pact. And it's nice enough to make a man weep. But I don't weep. Do you? No, I don't know about you, but it still kind of gets me. Like I said, there used to be a time during my career change process where this particular poem would just get me to my core. My bluebird just wanted to sing the song. So my question to you is, what's your bluebird and how will you choose to free it? And on this romantic, poetic note, I'm going to say goodbye to you. It is short and sweet. Like I said, I just sometimes, even as a coach, and I'm completely obsessed with all kinds of strategies and tools and alchemy. And listen, there are so many juicy things that we could do when it comes to rewiring neural pathways and working on belief work and transforming your limiting beliefs and opening the horizons for you of possibility. There's so much that we could do. But sometimes we don't have to do anything. Sometimes we just need to sit with what is and acknowledge to ourselves that this is where we're at. I said it many times before. A lot of the pain comes from the resistance. A lot of the pain comes when our model of the world does not meet the reality. As opposed to us really changing it, we sit in resistance. We deny it. We exude a lot of energy trying to fight what is. So this episode was the reminder that if you're here, it's okay. We can acknowledge that. We can look at your bluebird. We can talk to your bluebird. We can spend some time with your bluebird, even if it's only at nights at first. And once we connect, once we really accept all that it is, we can always then apply all of those amazing life-changing strategies and tools and belief work, right? But sometimes we don't need that. Anyway, please don't forget to message me on Instagram and share about your bluebird if you feel called. I do absolutely adore hearing from you, and your messages are very, very precious to me. And wishing you the best of the weeks, and I'll connect with you next Monday. Bye. If you feel like it's time for you to take this work further and commit to changing your life and your career around, make sure you schedule a call with me so we can reset that inner compass of yours and get you right on track towards more meaning, fulfillment, and energy. This is what my client Delphine had to say about our work together. Working with Vilma for 8 weeks was a fantastic experience. She's very kind, attentive, and intuitive. Thanks to our weekly meetings and the questions she thoughtfully asked, I really feel like I got a deeper understanding of myself and what I actually want to do in my life. I feel much more at peace with myself, my plans, and my ideas. I started my first session crying. I ended the last session laughing and with so much energy. With Vilma, you're in the best hands. Head over to the episode notes, click on the scheduling link, and let's get this party started.